We have been looking into the fruitful life, living a fruitful life. The theme has been putting on Christ. We get that from the book of Galatians, chapter 23, verse 27, where Paul says, as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we know that the fruit of the Spirit is what we need to consume. It's what we need to take in, and something that we need to put it on by reading and studying and meditating on the wonderful things of God. The fruit of the Spirit that we must put on. We've looked at the fruit of the Spirit, the love, that agape type of love, very special biblical kind of love, that has everything to do with our obedience, has everything to do with our sacrifice, and everything to do with having ourselves as a servant to others. And we talked about the joy that we have through Christ, through the knowledge that He has overcome the powers of the devil. He's overcome sin. He's overcome and defeated sin and death. And so we realize we can have great joy and peace. We talked about, for the very same reasons and so much more, we talked about long suffering. That as God's children, we need to be like God and have that great amount of patience with the world around us, to be long suffering, waiting for the promises of God to come true in our lives. We want to access the Holy Spirit, and we do that through the Word of God. There is no other way. You know, you can challenge people who tell you they have faith and that they're saved by that faith. Challenge them to explain what faith is without using God's Word. Explain who Jesus is without using God's Word. Explain how to be saved without using God's Word. And that can't be done. It is the Word that fills us. It's the Word that we eat spiritually that helps us to put on the characteristics of the Master Himself, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that through the knowledge of Him. That's what Peter said in his second letter in chapter 2, where he, or 1 rather, where he writes that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And so it is important that we understand where we get these fruits from and how these fruits can be added to our life. In this lesson today, we're going to talk about two of those characteristics. We want God to make us to have kindness and goodness in our lives. And that is the lesson for today. And so we want to see how this applied to Christ and how it applies to us. When we think about the word kindness, kindness is defined by Thayer's as a moral goodness and integrity. Okay? When you think about goodness, goodness is defined by Thayer's simply uprightness of heart and life. So you can see these two words, they really fit together. They're like a hand in glove, right? There's one gentleman who wrote these words that kind of help us to understand this. He said, kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others. Goodness is the activity calculated to advance that happiness. You see how these, they fit together, hand and glove. Kindness is a sincere desire for the happiness of others. The kindness then is about having something within us that motivates us to want to help other people to be happy, to have success. And goodness is when we do something that brings about that cause. We do good things to one another and to others in order for them to receive that kindness in their own lives. So kindness requires an awareness of the needs of others. It requires that we have something within us that we want to fulfill the needs of others. And so there is a great need for every Christian, every one of us here today, to reflect on these characteristics, to put them together. One and one equals two. I want to, you know, we ask this simple question. We've all heard, I think that's a old question, to be or not to be, right? That's the question. And when we ask to be or not to be, the real question is to be or not to be what? Well, sons of the Most High. Because really we have a choice, right? Our text today from Jesus, you know, but love your enemies, he says, Luke chapter 6, verse 35, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unfaithful and the evil, right? If you were asked today to describe Jesus, how would you do it? How would you describe, somebody says, well, tell me about Jesus. Describe Jesus to me. Well, he was the Son of God. He came down from heaven. He put on flesh. He dwelt among us. He did many signs, wonders, and miracles. He was powerful. He was able to perceive the thoughts of others. He was our Savior. He was wise. He was a healer. There's so many things we could say about Jesus, describing Jesus, right? But those fall short. When we think about Jesus and how Peter described Jesus, Peter says, he's talking to Cornelius' household. He's preaching to them about Jesus. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Think about that. When we think about this verse in Luke 6:45, do we love our enemies? Do we do good to people that aren't exactly our friends? Do we lend hoping nothing in return? Right? And when you think about that, am I doing this to the unfaithful, unthankful, and evil? Because exactly that is what God did. Right? All that Jesus ever did, all that Jesus ever said, was for the good of others. All the physical things that he did in the world, the signs, wonders, miracles, all the teachings, everything spiritual, it was for the good of others. That is what our God, who came to this world, had within him, a desire for kindness towards us. And then he did everything that was necessary for us to receive that goodness and that benefit. That's what it's all about. And when you think about that, it's important to know that he lived according to what he preached. On the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, and at verse 46, you can read, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" Jesus is making a point. He's saying, so what? If you love those who love you, big deal. You love those who love you. But when we think of imitating Christ, when we think of imitating his love, that agape love, it comes down to service, sacrifice, and obedience to God. And if we only love people who love us, then we're no better than tax collectors and sinners, because they do the same thing. You know, you can have Jesse, the gunslinger, whoever his name was, Jesse James and his gang, and they all loved one another. They robbed banks with one another. They shot people with one another. They had all things in common with one another. What makes them different from us? And so we need to be like Christ. We need to love our enemies and do good, lending, hoping for nothing in return. Because that's what will make us to be called the sons of God. That's what it means. If we expect to be the sons of God, we need to follow that pattern. When we think about the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, the peace, the long-suffering, and here, the kindness and the goodness, they're not optional. As Christians, they're not optional. We don't have a choice being the sons of the Most High, being Christian, and have a choice of whether we're going to carry through and have these fruits of the Spirit. It's just not an option. So what can we do to exhibit or to carry on these fruit of the Spirit? Well, we imitate God's unfailing kindness and love. That's what we do. Think about verse 35 of this text, the end of that. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. He's kind to unthankful and evil. And that same idea, right? But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, when Jesus came down from heaven, he brought kindness and love. When that appeared to man, he was showing us a pattern on how to live our lives. The scriptures, you know, they put a great emphasis on kindness and love. But we have to notice that that's contrasted there. And it's not by works of our righteousness. You notice what it says in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us through the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. That's what he did. It wasn't something, you know, you contrast God. Did God only show his kindness and his mercy, his love and goodness to those who loved him? Did he only show that to people who said, yes, Lord? Or did he show that to everyone, to the unthankful and to the evil? Well, the answer is yes, he showed it to everyone. No, he did not only show it to the good and the loving. And in contrast, we need to be the same way, but what happens is, we're not saved by our works. We're not glorified by God because of our righteousness. For we were sinners when Christ died for us. He gave his life for sinners. He gave his life for people who despitefully used him, who hated him, the unrighteous, the wicked, the lost, the hopeless, the rebellious. And so, his kindness towards us turned into the work of Christ upon this earth. A work that we need to mimic. A work that we need to have within us as a fruit of the Spirit. God is kind and loving and good to all people. So we're going to be like God if we want to be the sons of the Most High. Then we need to be kind, offer our kindness and a goodness within us to motivate other people to learn more about Jesus, to help them. And that can be pretty difficult, you know. It's easy to be kind. It's easy to practice goodness toward people that are in your frame, your world, your life, you know, family and your best friends, people that you respect and people that respect you. It's easy to do that. But Jesus, when he came, he set up a system that would break down a middle wall between the Jews and the Greeks. That system, of course, was ultimately taking him on in faith through baptism. He broke down that middle wall. There isn't Jew or Greek anymore, male or female, slave or free. They're all one in Christ. He broke it down. We need to break down that middle wall where we think that our family and our friends and our loved ones are the people that we share the gospel with. And Other people, they're just outside on the other side of this wall. There can't be a wall. We need to look at the people that are disrespectful to us, the people that are mean to us, the people who are, quote, our enemies, that slap us on the cheek. We need to look at them and think about them in love. We need to have so much kindness in us for their benefit that we do everything we can to lift them up. We need to accept even the worst in order to be the sons of the Most High. And that's what we need to follow that. And it's easy to do it. Not so easy when it comes to loving your enemies, praying for them who despitefully use you. It's much easier to do that with just the people who love you back. We need to show that goodness. And think about this. Our response to the ungrateful must be the same as God's. So have you ever had this situation, and I'm pretty sure we've all had it, where you do some really good things for somebody, and you know, you're doing it because you just want them to feel better, to be lifted up out of some kind of misery. Weeks on end, you're just doing everything you can to help somebody. And that person turns right around and despitefully uses you, has no appreciation whatsoever for, you know, we're expecting at least a thank you. We're expecting somebody to at least say, well, Dave did this, and he, you know, he's such a great guy. But they don't do that. They don't thank you. They don't praise you. They don't do anything at all. In fact, they totally overlook it and just keep on going and going. Doesn't that make you feel like, I'm not going to help that person anymore. I'm done. No more. Forget it. You know, you're not going to praise me. You're not going to at least notice that I'm doing some good for you. That's what people tend to do. But that is not what God did. Right? If you're not going to appreciate me, you're on your own. That's not what God did. What if God did think that way? I can tell you one thing for sure. I wouldn't be up here preaching. I wouldn't be saved. If God thought that way, he'd look at me from heaven and he'd say, no, he's worthless. He's not worth my time. He doesn't appreciate what I did for him. He doesn't appreciate me sending my son into the world. He doesn't appreciate him dying on a cross. He doesn't appreciate anything. He's on his own. Goodbye. That's not how God thought, did he? For while we were yet still in our sins, Christ died for us. God looks down from heaven and he saw David Scarpino and he said, he's miserable. He's wicked. I'm sending Jesus to you, David. And thankfully, David responded. But whether I respond or not, God loves me. And he had kindness for me in his heart. And he did what was necessary for me to have salvation, to be freed from my sins, and to have a home one day in heaven, and to be called a son of the Most High. That's a fantastic title to be given by God. You think that is how God does it? He takes the miserable and turns them into his children. You look at verse 33, what Jesus said there. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is it that you, to you, for even the sinners do the same? It's the same thing we just read about the evil. You know, that's what Paul's saying. If we want to be sons of the Most High, we can't be like the rest of the world who only does good for those they like. We have so much division in the world today. So much hatred just because somebody's different. Jesus says, no, you can't be that way. You need to be good to people who aren't good to you. That's the whole key to the text. You know, so what if you do good? No. What's great is when you do good to those who aren't returning the favor. And we have to all let this sink into our hearts, church. That has to be part of our life. That has to be one of the fruit of the Spirit that lives within us and abides in us and makes us to work the good works of God. We have to realize that I need to desire kindness and do goodness towards others, even our enemies. We need to reflect the love of God toward people who, in our estimation, aren't really worth it. They're not worth our time. Because God loves and showed kindness to us, we need to do the same. Okay, that's why we were created. You look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And what did Paul say? For by grace we are saved through faith, right? And that not of ourselves, not of works, lest any man can boast. What does he say? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I want you to keep that in mind, that we need to walk in them. Paul, again, he speaks about the immeasurable riches of God's grace in verse 7. The kindness led God to save us by his grace. And the sad part is many people stop reading Ephesians 2 right there where it says, you know, we're saved by grace through, and they actually don't even put the through. We're saved by grace and nothing else. But we're saved by grace through faith. That's the word that God gave us. It's what God did for us. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Created in Christ Jesus that we should, quote, walk in them. In other words, we're doers of the word, not hearers only. We imitate Christ the same way Paul imitated Christ, Peter imitated Christ, James, John, so on. We want to be imitators of the Most High so that we can be called the sons of the Most High. So since we walk in good works, we need to consider every aspect in our lives, every circumstance, every place where we can do this. You know, in our workplace, there's always going to be somebody in the workplace that rubs you the wrong way. So what do you do? Do you rub them back the wrong way? Or do you do good for that person? Do you speak in kindness toward that person? And you do good for that person? Do we help co-workers accomplish their tasks even though we're busy, busy, busy? Right? Do we volunteer to help out our co-workers? Do we not complain but speak kindly towards our co-workers? There's somebody that isn't friendly to us, you know? Do we just make the effort to be extra kind to them? That's something that we need to think about and something we need to do. Make it our best effort to raise other people up from where they are, because you have the kindness in your heart towards them and you want to do good things to raise them up. What can you do in the workplace? What about our daily activities? You know, every day, you think about what you do on a regular basis. You know, daily, weekends. Think about all the people you come across, strangers, friends, neighbors, so on, especially ones that maybe they're not so nice. It's hard to get along with them. Even simple things like just saying hello. You know, people walk by nowadays, and it's something that I practice often is when I walk into a place and you see somebody coming by you and they immediately they put their eyes down or they look some other way. It's like they don't even want to see you. Okay, and it isn't beyond me to tap that person's shoulder and say, hey, how are you doing today? I do that. And when somebody walks by me and they look at me and they smile, I'll stop. And I will take that person and I will be right in front of them and I say, I am so glad you smiled at me today. That made me feel so good. My name is Dave. What is your name? Simple, little thing. Saying thank you in a restaurant over and over and over again when the waitress refills your water or refills your coffee or refills your drink or asks you if you need napkins or brings you something. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really like the way you did your hair today. I like the way that you're dressed and I appreciate your diligence. Thank you. Thank you. It's just something you can do every day of your life. Right? Hopefully, what you do in good to other people, that person that wasn't so nice to you, maybe someday they'll be your friend. That happens. You know, the person you bump into that you may never see again because you don't look at them, because you don't say something to them. But if you do say something and you do look at them and you do encourage them with your words and your kindness and you do something good, maybe that'll produce a seed in them. Maybe they will want to see you again. Maybe they'll want to be your friend. Remember what Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and at verse 10. He said, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That word do is a powerful word. Right? It's the same thing as go in the commandment of the Lord to go into all the world. It's the same thing as to do something. It means to make an effort. It means that it implies work. Work, it's something that has to be exerted on your part so that you can accomplish good in the sense of others. And so that's a big deal word. You know, the last time you said something good to somebody that isn't always good to you, maybe the last time you need to be worried about them not being good to you. You can't be the sons of the Most High from a distance. And it can't be a distant memory. If you're sitting here today and you're thinking, well, when was the last time I did that? When was the last time I met a stranger and said something kind to them, introduced myself? When was the last time? It shouldn't be a distant memory where you go, well, I got to look on my calendar. I don't remember, actually. Don't turn the kindness of God off, which actually turns on selfishness, our selfishness on. We become lack in doing good, and then our attentions turn inward to self. Right? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. If you remember that verse, let nothing be done through what? Selfish ambition, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not become slack in doing good. We're interested in the needs of others. That's a command. That's what makes us sons of the Most High. That's one thing that makes us sons of the Most High. You know, this is the exact opposite of what the world teaches. You know, what the world teaches is you take care of yourself first. You think of yourself first. And if you can, you help others. You know, that's not what God said. You think of yourself second. You esteem others greater than yourself. And that's how we can help to take care. We don't want to grow weary. You know, it's really easy to get kind of burned out by doing good, doing good, doing good, and not receiving good. But there is great, great reward if we don't grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap the reward if we don't lose heart. And so let's remember that, how important that is. We're trying to imitate God's unfailing kindness and love, His goodness towards others. You know, God has exhibited to us loving kindness, even to undeserving people like me. We need to do the same. The people who are undeserving in our estimation, people who are unloving and unlovable in our estimation, people who are ungrateful for all of our good works, we need to do the same. We need to seek out every opportunity to carry out the act of goodness because of our kindness that's in us towards other people. We need to be, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it gets, we need to keep working and working and working in our lives for the sake of others. God will reward us. We'll be called the sons of the Most High. Be better than your enemies. Be better than the people who despite you, who speak evil of you. Be better than them. Because that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to be better, to do good toward, to find out a way to help somebody that seems like they're unhelpable or unwilling. And never forget the words of the Apostle Paul. You know, Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 20. And 21. Paul says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, that is the lesson for today. I hope that encourages you to do good, to have kindness. Most importantly, it's important for us to remember what God did for us. We can deny Him, we can deny Him, we can refuse Him, we can live in sin, but Christ died for you so that you can stop, so that you can become like Him. Have life eternal as the opening door upon your passing from this life to the next. Jesus Christ died for you, and He made that offer to come unto Him and to be saved through His blood. And if you have any other need this day, to ask for prayers or to talk, just to maybe take something heavy on your shoulders to be released. We can do that for you today too. If you have a need to be baptized or you have a need for something else, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
All right,